In recent 2 years, I'm mainly focused on service reliability technologies. All of us hate incidents because they cause business losses. Today, I will talk about how to get through easier in incidents by accepting partial failures of phase two. The Baidu ISRE team are responsible for the availability of diverse products, including search, advertisement, map, feed news, forum, and so on. We have been fighting against all kinds of service failures for many years and get relatively experiences. Today, I will talk about the general idea for incident recovery and share three basic principles to simplify work and reduce loss. A large internet product is composed of hundreds of microservices running on thousands of servers distributed in multiple data centers at different locations, processing millions of requests in every second. There are various reasons to break such a complicated system. Well, total recovery is not that easy. In an incident, the total service loss is the sum of the loss in each second, which can be calculated by this formula. Usually, total recovery from an incident takes pretty long time, from tens of minutes to even several hours. Most time is spent on root cause localization due to the complexity. If the time is very difficult to reduce, can we reduce the loss in every second? Anyway, what we eventually care about is not the machine system, but the functional effect to end users' experiences. If we stand at the user's point of view, not the system's perspective, we can reduce loss in a different way. We can compromise some unimportant part to ensure major functionalities to end users. There are three basic principles to tolerate partial failures. First, deployment isolation. We should try to limit failures in one cell and shift user requests to other cells rapidly. Second, module isolation. Makes the non-essential modules detachable. Third, user traffic isolation. Drop some of the queries to save the important ones. I will talk about these approaches one by one in the following slides. First, deploy isolation. Usually, the system can be divided into two layers. The front-end request forwarding service and the back-end data processing system. The front-end is much more simple and stable than the back-end. With the nature of cells as isolation, we can deploy the back-end system in isolated cells. If the system in one cell fails, we can shift the user request to other cells on the front-end. In this way, we can hide the complexity of hundreds of backend microservices and get enough time to find the root cause and fix it. Sometimes, to reduce the complexity of development or operation. That's better, I'm sorry. Some system designers accepted a few global single-point modules, such as Zookeeper and MySQL. In addition, if the system in each cell connects to the same third-party service in one cell, it's another kind of global single point. Although, it might make the design look simple and friendly to the developers, but for high availability, they may result in global failures. We should try to avoid this risk. Compared with logical processing services,
They are a little more difficult to be deployed in each isolated cell due to data inconsistency. We should consider using local data storage in each cell. Try to accept temporary data inconsistency in system architecture and sync the data asynchronously. For some particular services, this may not be acceptable, but at least split the unnecessary ones. Rome was not built in a day, neither were our products. During the expansion of the product, we have to pay attention to the interdependency among the cells when recreating more cells into the system. If someone just expands the service from one cell to more cells, but not completely separate them, they may eventually encounter multi-cell failures. We need at least n plus one cells capacity redundancy to prepare for any one cell out of service at any time. Don't make one of them too big. When the big one fails, the small ones probably do not have enough space to accommodate to the coming request load. To avoid this risk, real-time capacity measurement and periodic stress tests are necessary. As you know, system changes bring most incidents. We should try to limit change failures into one cell. Then we still have a chance to shift requests, restore end users' functionalities immediately. Change includes not only deploy, but also operation. Both dangerous equally. The operation tools are also software, may have hidden bugs, break down system in a sudden. We should constrain operation tools in development and test as well as production software. Do not change all cells at the same time, especially in automation. They can change anything in several seconds, which may spread a small mistake too fast. We should always change gradually and stop immediately when failed. Check system status after each stage of change. Automated check can improve efficiency greatly, but manual check is still necessary in some cases. For example, if a functionality in web page for user interaction is unavailable, but no backend software errors, auto-check cannot always cover this kind of failures well. So, manual check is more important to change in the services relative to interaction with pages. Pay attention to different operation entries. If two people or system are operating the same service separately at the same time and get run, they double the unavailable instances may cause insufficient capacity. There may be a rule for SREs. Don't do task A when another one is doing task B, but it relies on people communication and cautiousness. Here, we need global logs embedded into operation tools. Constraints rule. Module isolation is the second weapon. No service will never crash. A service in all cells may break down at the same time. Someone might say, it has been running for 5 years without any incident. I believe in it. Really? Do you remember the AWS S3 service disruption in latest February? And earlier, DNS outage all over the USA? Partial loss is much better than total outage. We can make the broken manner feature invisible to end user, which is imperceptible, rather than give them a narrow page. For example, in this page, the marked part is produced by an individual subsystem. If it returns an error, the result will be neglected. User will see the other part of the page. make every non-essential module detachable, even automatically. External dependencies might be forgotten, such as CDN, DNS, and storage service. We should prepare for these outages. For CDN, usually we don't have sufficient budget to double all resources, but at least make sure the page can display basic contents, rather than in a mess due to lack of JS or CSS files like this one. For DNS, if we have native app, we can get rid of DNS, connect to VIP directly. This technology is called HTTP DNS in China, may be first used by Chinese engineers due to the poor DNS service in China. This is a DNS hijacking example. This sexy advertisement picture is absolutely not from Baidu. Finally, the user request isolation. When no sufficient capacity, if there are some methods to identify the importance of queries, we can drop the relatively unimportant ones to save the most important parts. Then, which part is more important? Here are some typical cases. Real user surpass crawlers. Paid user surpass free users. Popular requests surpass long tail requests, which usually needs more resources. We need to prepare for dropping them at any time, so we should distinguish them real time. The paid user and long tails are obviously, but crawlers may disguise the requests as human. Distinguish them is not that easy, and we are trying to solve the problem using machine learning technologies. In brief, we can drop one cell, some non-essential modules, part of relatively unimportant requests to reduce service loss in an incident. Not all strategies are suitable for any product. Consider it from your product's perspective. Enjoy fighting against the incidents. Thank you very much.